Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and I just love the title of this publication. You can buy happiness and it's cheap. Yes, that's what we're going to be talking about today. We have a delightful young woman, Tammy Strobel, who is with us. And Tammy has a very unique story. If you're like most people today, you're watching your budget. You are saying, I've got to get out of debt. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And there's all kinds of fearful thoughts that run through your head because you wonder if you're going to get through the difficult, hard times. Well, of course, we always can get through the difficult, hard times. But Tammy took a very unique approach. And I thought that it was really something special. And I wanted to have her share it with us this morning. Tammy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, you have a blog called Rowdy Kittens, and you get like 6,000 people listening to that blog. But you also, in coming out with this book, you've done things that I think most people would go, you've got to be kidding. You did what? Oh, my
yeah,
goodness,
yeah, I get that
Tammy.
A lot.
Yes, I mean, it's really interesting. Now, you and your husband mm-hmm. were the typical middle-class individual. You had two cars. You commuted. You say you lived beyond your means.
Mm-hmm.
What in the world was it? Oh, by the way, for those of you listening, she's a coffee addict. She just loves coffee. And you're a tiny house enthusiast, but let's talk about your story, because this is something that we've all heard about downsizing, and usually that's equated with an older person. Oh, they're downsizing, you know, when they get to be 70, 80, 90 years old, they just don't need the space. Well, I've got mm-hmm. a lot of people that I know that are in their 70s, 80s, and 90s, and they're not interested in downsizing. You're a young person. How old are you, Tammy?
I'm 33.
You're 33. When did you and your husband decide to embark on this adventure with a postage stamp sized house as the ending result? This is really cool stuff.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for the kind words. I appreciate that. We started this adventure about 7 years ago, and We didn't get rid of anything. It was mainly just talking because I, in the beginning, didn't want to downsize. At the time, I was working in the investment management industry. I was commuting a lot. I was in debt, overweight, and just unhappy. And so Logan, my husband, was like, hey, why don't we kind of scale back our living space, what we're spending, our stuff? And I was like, oh my gosh, what are you talking about?
mm-hmm.
I was really resistant to giving up this lifestyle that I was living. But after a lot of conversations and making pro-con lists, we started slowly tearing down our living space, our stuff, our debt. And, you know, now we're living in a really tiny house and we're very happy. And, you know, when in the book, I talk about how important it is for people to really evaluate their own life circumstance, because not everyone's going to want to live in a tiny house, and that's okay. But I think it's important to kind of take stock of where you're at and what makes you happy.
Well, I think that that was the most significant part of your story. And I really like what you said, that this was a seven-year process. You just didn't go out and say, I'm going to abandon everything. I mean, too many people seem to think things have to change that fast. Well, sometimes life demands it, but you don't want those options. You want to be able to make your choices as you and your husband
sure.
did. based on the right reasons, not out of fear.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And I also, I feel lucky because this was a voluntary process for us. You know, we're fortunate in that we got to make that choice. It wasn't forced upon us. And so it's a very different scenario when, you know, you're looking at like maybe a home foreclosure versus like wanting to downsize and live in a super small space.
Right. Now, there was a woman that you happened to see a YouTube video on, and this was on December 31st, 2007. What a way to begin a new year. This was about a woman named Dee Williams. What was it about that YouTube video that made such a difference?
Well, you know, at the time, we were in an 800-square-foot apartment, and we'd already started to downsize our lives, and we were feeling a little stuck because we really wanted to own our own home, but realistically, we knew that that wasn't going to be an option for us. At the time, you know, we were living in Davis, California, and the average home price was between $400,000 to $500,000. And so just the interest on our mortgage payment would have been as much as our rent. And so when I saw Dee's video, I thought, oh my gosh, the house was not only cute, but Logan and I, we could pay cash for something tiny, and it would be mobile, which would suit our lifestyle too. So I think it was just that combination of cuteness and being able to pay cash for something really caught our attention.
Now, you have a great aunt, Mamie, in your family, and you said in Christmas of 2010, you came across some old letters that she had written, and she said in one of her letters, "Remember, Tammy, life is short. Do what you love and help others, too. It's natural to think you'll be happy if you conform to the norm. I don't think that that's true. It's okay to be yourself. This is just a small reminder. Don't lose track of your dreams." What a powerful thing to find right at Christmas.
Yeah. I know, right? It was, you know, that letter made me cry. It just was such a good reminder for what really life should be all about, you know, helping other people, strong relationships. And I think about my aunt a lot because she was such a nonconformist. You know, she never got married. She traveled a lot. And, you know, she grew up in the Great Depression. And so kind of how she lived her life was definitely not what other people would have wanted for her. Like, I know her parents wanted her to have kids and, you know, do that kind of thing. But she was like, no, I want to do what I want to do. And she was happy. So I just appreciate her so much, even though she's not here with us anymore.
You had a person named Jenna that is in your book. And Jenna was an individual that never wanted a whole bunch of stuff. She grew up in an environment where her mother was, I think, a shopaholic. She just, she would just go out and buy, and there was never enough. Now, Jenna was not unhappy but with her childhood, but she said that was something that her mother did to fill a void inside of herself. And she went through some pretty heavy stuff. Tell us what happened with Jenna, and why was she such an influence with you?
Sure. Well, I think for me, Jenna's story was really powerful because I think at its core, it's a reminder that kids want their parents' attention. Like, they don't, I don't think they want stuff, but they really want to be shown how much they're loved, and they want time with their parents. And, you know, Jenna ultimately decided to kind of simplify her life. And, you know, she loved her folks, but at the same time, she kind of saw the error in their ways, if you will, like, especially with the mom being, you know, such a shopaholic. And I think she definitely took some powerful lessons away from that herself. So, yeah, I just, I don't have kids myself, but with my nieces and nephews, you know, when I'm with them, they just want to play and have fun, and they're not necessarily concerned about going to the mall.
That's very true. Now, there are a number of points that you bring out in your book that I think are very significant. People used to be more involved in civic interactions. This is years ago. Now, I think there are many, many people that love doing volunteer work, which is absolutely awesome because they contribute substantially on so many levels in so many different environments. Without them, a lot of groups and organizations just wouldn't have a chance to survive. They couldn't possibly do without the volunteers. But you had noticed as a younger person, and I have seen this as a professional, where there's an isolation tendency, especially with technology. Kids mm-hmm. are involved with video games. They're not getting outside. The costs, my goodness, if you just look at the ads on what they're going to charge for the latest item that comes out, we're not talking about $5 or $10. We're talking about hundreds of dollars, sometimes mm-hmm. thousands of dollars. And people say, oh, but this is the latest thing. And so they end up going into debt over a lot of this. And they become very, very frustrated. I love the quote that you had in here by Will Rogers, who is just an absolutely fabulous guy, and that most people are more concerned about buying things, stuff that they really don't need. Too many people spend money they haven't earned to buy things they don't want to impress people they don't like. I think another short version is keeping up with the Joneses. And it's so unnecessary. It is really so unnecessary. But there are millions of people that are, in your words, living to support their stuff. And that's what you found you were doing. Hi, this is Donna. We are trying to reconnect with Tammy, and her cell phone just all of a sudden got indigestion. And so we have not been able to reconnect at this time, but we're going to get her back. We just were able to reach her, so we're going to get her back online. One of the things that I wanted to bring out, and Tammy covers this very well in the book because she relates it to herself and to what her husband, both of them, had to make evaluations about. And she was living to support her stuff, and she said that when she became aware of the debt ratio, in fact, college students today, and it's awful if you're going in for a medical degree. I mean, you're hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. The average undergraduate, carries over $3,000 in credit card debt, and it was up 44% from 2004. Now, we're talking about a lot of money. And how many of us have been in that cycle where we end up with so much debt? Let's face it, credit cards have. Thank you. Credit cards have a place in our life. I mean, they come in handy when you have to have car repairs and when there's emergencies. But that's something that Tammy brings out in the book, and I know that she's on with us now. And I'm sorry, Tammy, that your phone died. But let's get back on track here. One of the things that you and your husband did, because you realized that you had a lot of money that you owed, you said you'd started making a pro and con list for items. And this was sort of at the part of the beginning of your downsizing. Did you need XYZ? Had you worn it? What did you want to do? What were the objectives? And what I liked is that the two of you worked together. You said, okay, let's look at this. And there was no condemnation on either one of you by the other person. You would just do that pro and con list. That really worked well for you, didn't it? Well, Tammy's having problems with the phone. Also, what Tammy did, she said they did on 2011, which was the Thanksgiving holiday, she said that was the 100-thing challenge. And there was a gentleman, Dave Bruno, and he decided that he wanted to downsize. Dave was really wanting to see if he could, by example, show how you can reevaluate what you need in your life. And he did that. Now, she makes a point in her book, You Can Buy Happiness and It's Cheap.
Hi, I can hear you now.
Okay, we're back on. It's a shame that we're having the telephone problems, but that's what technology will do sometimes. It'll get indigestion and cause us a little bit of angst. But anyway, Tammy, I was talking about Dave Bruno and how on the Thanksgiving holiday, 2011, you decided that you were going to take on the challenge of whittling things down. And I had to chuckle at some of your suggestions. You call them micro actions. You say stay away from the mall, sort through your stuff slowly. And also, I found a point interesting, writing down an extensive list of your fears. Why was this important to you?
Well, it's funny because as I was downsizing, I was kind of almost scared of getting rid of a lot of my stuff. I thought, oh my gosh, what if I need it again? You know, what will people think of me? And kind of writing that list out helped me shed stuff. And it probably sounds a little convoluted, but it was really helpful for me during the process.
You said you were in an economics 101 class, and you really were sort of antsy in that class.
Mm-hmm.
And you said when your teacher started talking about the gross domestic product, the GDP, all of a sudden you started paying attention. Why?
Well, it was, I think part of it was he was really talking about the big picture in terms of like how the economy runs. And I was just fascinated by that. And it's still, you know, I'm still in a learning process like everyone else, but that one class kind of made me like, oh, maybe I will major in this topic so I can learn more and try and understand how the economy runs. And it was just so fascinating to me. And I also liked it because it was so challenging. Like, just, I love a challenge, which probably comes through in the book.
Now, you have a chapter specifically addressing the power of debt.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that you bring out is that the average American spends about $9,000 or 20% of his or her income on car-related expenses. Now, for me, I know I would never give up my car. I would have to live in an idyllic environment where there was absolutely no necessity for it. But cars, for me as a professional, means that I can get to points that otherwise I would not be able to reach, even by the transit system. It just doesn't happen. And I'm not interested in walking 20 miles a day, thank you very much, even though it might drop me down, you know, to a pencil-thin shape. I'm just not going to do that, especially with the northwest weather that we have up here. I'm not a duck, so it doesn't work very well. But you brought out some really, really very good points about what you and your husband decided relative to this. Tell us how you made this adaptation, because I think others might be interested.
Sure, and I definitely, you know, going car-free isn't for everyone, and in the book I encourage people to think about, you know, if they maybe want to sell one of their cars and go car-light, that might be an option, but at least for Logan and I, by selling our cars, we were able to pay off our debt a whole lot quicker. You know, we had an extra $500 a month, basically, that was kind of sitting in our checking account, and we put that toward our debt, and we started cycling and walking everywhere and taking public transit, and so it did take longer to get to places, but we built that extra time into our schedule, and so for me, I just found it to be super fun biking around town, and even in the wet weather, I really enjoyed it, I think partly because I love being outside, too, and so as Logan always said, it's like, just make sure you're prepared when you get on your bike. You know, if it's raining, make sure you have waterproof gear, and you'll be fine. And it's funny, like, even on rainy days when I get on my bike, I'm always like, I don't know if I want to go for a ride. But then when I get out there and start pedaling, I always have a good time.
Now, one of the things that you mentioned, which I think is very good, and I know a friend when she was going through some very, very difficult times, she and her husband used this service, Zipcar. And that's where you rent vehicles for long trips. So you do use cars, but it's for that you plan for, and that's what my friend did, too. When her husband wasn't able to take her to work, she said, I can rent this car for an hour, or I can rent it for days, but I'm able to do that, and your costs were like about $1,500 a year, somewhere in that bracket, and that assisted you. But I really think that you present so many different perspectives, and I want you to share about the tiny house. Because obviously you go through this wonderful process of looking at the stuff, the things that you sell, and the things that you want to keep. But let's talk about this little house that you've got that you paid cash for. How big is this house?
The house is 128 square feet, and it's 8 feet wide, and it's 16 feet long, and it's 13 feet high, and it's built on a trailer, so it looks like a miniature cabin, and it's on wheels. And so we actually recently moved from Portland to Northern California, and it was kind of cool just being able to take our house with us on the move. You know, that was just super, super fun. And, you know, I don't think any moving process is easy, but it was nice knowing that, you know, in our new parking space, we'd have the same house. And that just makes me really happy. And it's definitely tiny, but the way we designed it, it really fits our needs for Logan and I.
Now, talk about the design. Because most people, when they would hear those numbers of a house that size, you'd say, well, that's nice. It's the size of a postage stamp. Don't you guys go stir crazy being in that tight of a confine? How did you manage a kitchen, a bathroom, your sleeping space, and privacy?
Sure. Well, and I think one of the things we tried to focus on in the design, like in the house itself, it has a lot of windows. So wherever you're sitting in the space, you're looking outside. So while the space itself is small, when you're actually in the house, it feels a lot bigger just because you're seeing into the outside world. And also, you know, we have a sleeping loft, and we have a very tiny kitchen, and we have our bathroom. And we were so fortunate because my friend Dee Williams, the gal you mentioned earlier, who was kind of our initial inspiration to go so small, she designed the house for us. And so we got a lot of tips from her after she'd been living in the space for, I think it was 6 years. And so, for example, she suggested including French doors on the side of the house so that during the summer we could just open it up, and it gives this feeling of great space even though it's super small.
I found it interesting with the kitchen, what you did. You said you have a shelf. You've got a lot of storage space in your kitchen, which, again, comes as a surprise when you think of it. And you say you have a shelf above your kitchen counter that holds glasses, dishes, and other goodies. You have a shelf below that where you installed mason jars for your spices, coffee, and tea. And you say it keeps bottles and jars off of the counter. You have a magnetic block that holds your knives, scissors, and other kitchen tools. And you even have your freestanding oven with a two-burner stove top. Now, all of these things, when I'm aware of this and I'm looking at that, to have your house wired, and did you, when you had this little house built, did it have to be inspected, and did it have to meet a certain code?
Yes, so it meets the international building code standard, and it was inspected by, you know, like electricians and things like that. And we wanted it inspected, too, just to make sure it was safe. You know, that's really important, I think, for any house. Like, you want to make sure it's safe and it's wired well and all those good things. No one wants their house burned down, you know. And we also were very fortunate in the fact that the gal who built the house, Katie Anderson, she's a Finnish carpenter by trade, so she's built all kinds of structures from large houses to super small dwellings and just incredible pieces of furniture. And her I guess it's just, in a lot of ways, I see the little house as a piece of art, because with her skills, it's just finished so well.
Now, when you built the house, did you put insulation in the walls? How do you stay warm during winter?
Sure. We have, it's wool insulation, and it's actually from sheep in Willamette Valley. And we opted to go with the wool because it actually, it keeps us really warm, and it's not toxic. And, you know, Katie, she's our friend, and as she was building the house, we didn't want her exposed to nasty chemicals. And so the house keeps us super cozy, and we have a little plug-in electric heater for the winters. And we actually can't sleep with the heat on at night because it gets so hot in the house. And so we just, you know, shut it off, and we have a little timer that clicks on for early morning so that it's not cold, but it's definitely cozy.
Now, you have a loft, your bathroom, you have a composting toilet, you don't have a shower there. So where do you guys go to clean up?
Well, sure. We actually do have, it's in a kind of, we call it our emergency shower. We have under the bathroom, we can actually remove the toilet, and there's a faux floor. So under that is a shower basin, and we can put up, you know, a little shower curtain in the bathroom stall. And if we need, if we're in a pinch, we can shower there. But for everyday use, it doesn't really make sense. And so I had mentioned earlier that we'd moved to Northern California, and we're actually in a really rural area, so we're in the process of setting up a little outdoor shower. And in the meantime, my neighbors are my in-laws, and so until we get that set up, we're using their shower in the main house. But when we were living in Portland, I just showered after my yoga class, and Logan showered at work, so it really suited us, and I'm really excited about our new outdoor shower. I think it's going to be fun.
Well, and then the compost from the toilet, that's the composter, what do you do with that?
We put it in, we have this kind of, it's a giant container. It's like a huge, it used to be to collect rainwater, actually, and so we put all of our compost in that. And we empty it about once a week, and we turn it, and basically with the compost, it can sit for about a year. And then after that, it turns into soil and can be used for, you know, trees or shrubbery or things like that. But it's a really robust system that actually most of the world uses. So it's not smelly, and it works out really well.
It really is fascinating what you have been able to do and what you have chosen to experience. You have developed different habits because you have this smaller space. You just get really creative, and you're very, very satisfied with how you are living. Now, how did your blog get started?
You know, I started blogging in 2007. It was soon after I saw Dee's video on the internet, and I really just wanted a place to share my story, to improve my writing, and to connect with like-minded people. And so I've been blogging since then, and, you know, it's grown over time, and I've met just some incredible folks through the website, and it's been a ton of fun. So I definitely encourage people who are wanting to share their creative work, whether it's writing or photography, to start a blog, because it can lead to unforeseen and amazing opportunities.
Well, I just think your story is so interesting. Your book makes for a fascinating read. And when I look at this little itsy bitsy house that you and your hubby are living in, and the picture is of you, and your hand is situated where it looks like it's holding this little house in the hand. It really is, it's quite a visual. But I think you and your husband are to be complimented, because you've done something that has shown that you can create your own destiny. You can make your choices. And I think it's a wonderful example to others, whether or not they want to have this little itsy-bitsy house like you've got isn't the issue. I think the issue is that you've given a wonderful example about those choices that we make can free us. We don't have to feel like we're locked in to what we don't want. We can get out of it. The two of you work to get out of debt. You managed to do that. You're free to do whatever you want. You've made choices and given yourself options. And I think that's wonderful. I just think that's terrific. What is your website that people can go to?
Sure. My website is rowdykittens.com. So you can read about our story there. And I just want to say thank you so much for the kind words. That's really sweet. And I think you're right in the sense that it's all about options, and people can make really deliberate choices about their own lives and what works for them. You know, it's not really about tiny houses per se. It's about, you know, what you really need and just being really deliberate in your choices.
Well, I think, my dear, Tammy Strobel, you have done, you and your husband both are to be complimented, because you are a demonstration, in my view, of what ingenuity, innovation can do, and a willingness to make a change if necessary. But do give me a call when you decide to move into that 10,000-square-foot mansion. I would love to hear that story when it happens. Tammy, thank you for being my guest. This is Donna Sebo. Check out rowdykittens.com. We're going to be back for more. Tammy Strobel has been my guest. You can buy happiness, and it is cheap. We'll be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. 888-627-6008 is the telephone number that you can call into if you so desire. 888-627-6008, and I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. November 3rd, Saturday, there is going to be a class, Quantum Mind 4, for those of you who are listening from Western Washington. We are going to be ending this year with this class, and I think it's going to give you some dynamics that are wonderful. One, you're going to be able to understand some of the ancient Chinese methods utilized nutritionally and otherwise for longevity. And also, we're going to enable you, I'm specifically going to be doing this, to demonstrate your own psychic intuitive ability. So I hope that if you are interested, it's going to be held at a location on Bridgeport Place. The information will be going out in my newsletter and also in a special email blast, but you are going to have that opportunity, and I would be delighted to have you join us. We're only going to have room for 25 people. So it's very interactive, it's very personal, and it's an environment that I know you will enjoy. So if you're interested in this, November the 3rd, it'll be from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. Give me a call at 253-582-5601 604 253 5825 604. Well, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Lou Paradise. And Lou is so knowledgeable when it comes to wellness and nutrition and things like this. So we're going to be discussing some particular items with him. And then we're going to be talking this week with Thomas Fusco behind the cosmic veil. This is a man that has traveled a particular journey that has enabled him to develop his own intuitive capacities and made him aware of certain things that he never thought would be his experience. And then also, on Friday, we're going to be talking with Normandy Ellis, imagining the world into existence. I think you're going to find her topic quite an interesting one. Why? Because we're going to be talking about Egypt. That's right, Egypt. This is going to be about an Egyptian manual of consciousness. Aha. Does that grab your interest? I hope so. It made for a fascinating read. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. 888-627-6008. I wanted to share a true story with you about an event that happened in 1904. I believe there was a movie made about this that featured Kirk Douglas as a major actor in this movie. But I can't recall the movie to save my soul, so maybe one of you out there will be able to call in and tell me what it was. But this is the event that happened. And on July 31st, 1904, there was a British steamship. It was called the Mohegan, and it was surrounded by enigmatic, luminescent fog. Now, the vessel totally stopped. Can you imagine this huge, huge ship stopping totally? This is what happened. The fog itself, magnetized everything that was on board, and the contents on the boat began to radiate energy, light, and it was described, as far as how it looked, as a mass of glowing fire. The compass on the ship was going ballistic. The chains, and these things are huge. If you've ever been on a ship, these iron chains are massive. Well, they couldn't be moved. The sailors were trying to move them. They were magnetized. They were just absolutely staying where they were. And metal objects, anything that was loose, was being attracted to these massive chains. The sailors just absolutely didn't know what to do. The hair on the heads of the sailors stood straight up. Body hair bristled outward. The joints in their bones became very, very stiff. So they were affected as well as everything on the ship. And it was big news when this recorded event happened all over the world. And there was a captain, Yurcu Clark, who was piloting the Mohegan from Romania to the Delaware breakwater. He said the captivating cloud was gray, had glowing lights throughout it, and you could not see beyond the edge of the ship. Now, the denseness of this mist apparently had a heaviness to it, and the sailors called it claustrophobic. And there was a muffled silence that just scared everybody big time. And when they interviewed the captain related this, and this is a quote, "The seamen were in terror. Their hair stood straight on end, not from fright so much as from the magnetic power of the cloud. They rushed about the deck in consternation, and the more they rushed about, the more excited they became. I tried to calm them, but the situation was beyond me. For a half hour, we were enveloped in that mysterious vapor. Suddenly, the cloud began to lift. The phosphorescent glow of the ship began to fade. It gradually died away, and in a few minutes, the cloud passed, and we saw it moving off to sea. Fascinating, fascinating happening. So many things in life we just cannot explain. We try to, but an event like that, goodness gracious, how often does it happen? We have no idea. And I don't think it happens all that often. And there are those freak occurrences of situations and conditions that you could never replicate in a laboratory. You just would not be able to do it. Now, I wanted to share some thoughts with you regarding money. And the reason I wanted to share this with you, because of the interview that I had today with Tammy, it's so important for us to just recognize that there's always cycles in life when we're going to have to pay attention to what we do with money. How do we want to be in charge of our lives? What is it that we can do that can enable us to get out from underneath that debt burden? And this is something that anyone can work with. And there's no magic wand. It usually is just good, basic common sense. But often, we don't realize that we have the power of choice. One of the biggest things I think that affects people is the I've got to have it right now mentality. And gee whiz, you're way behind the curve if you don't buy XYZ, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, if you don't do the other. Are you really? Is it something that you can work with? And if you really have an idea, if you really have a concept of something that you want to implement, then work out a plan as to what you have to do to save. And I think that whenever you talk to people that have survived the Depression, which I've had the opportunity to many, many times in my years of broadcasting and counseling, people with all kinds of life experiences, they have come out of situations. They've been able to make some changes and survive their challenges. So when we come back, I'm going to share a story with you about a multi-millionaire who went totally broke and ended up coming back being like a shining star. So this is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. You can also give me a call at 888-676-0008. We'll be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic. Safe for children, too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. This is a true story. This is an event that happened here in the Tacoma area of the state of Washington. And I'll never forget when I read it. It was really very inspiring to me. There was a bakery, and I believe it's still in business today. I don't know who owns it at this time. But this was a man that had been in the bakery business in the local area for years, and he was quite successful. He provided bread, baked goods to the hotels and various things around here, and he had a very efficiently organized system, but he wasn't in a real fancy location. And one day, he is contacted by someone, And they said, we have this couple that are, they have been given sanctuary in the United States, and they speak English, and they're from Vietnam, and we would like to know if you might have a job for them. So he interviews the people. He had a very efficient staff, but as it had turned out, this gentleman, and I'll call him Bill for the lack of another name, Bill just had to say goodbye to one of his long-term employees because they had some family issues and they were relocating. So he had an opening, and he said, sure, let me talk to them. So he found that both the husband and wife were very, very intelligent people, and they had hit some real hard times. They didn't talk too much about it. And he said, well, if you're willing to come to work, I know that you don't have any money. I will pay you XYZ dollars. You'll be an employee here at the company, at the bakery. And what we're going to do is, since you don't have any place to live, I've got this space upstairs in my processing plant that we can make into an apartment, and if you don't object to it, you can live up there. And it had a bathroom, and it was give them enough space where they could have, you know, decent, halfway decent living quarters, but it wasn't anything exciting. Well, they were thrilled, absolutely thrilled. So this couple, as Bill had them working for him, he got to know them. And to his amazement, he found that this couple had escaped with their lives from a horrific, violent situation. The husband and wife had been in their own country extremely wealthy, extremely wealthy. They were multi-millionaires in their own country. But they decided that if they could get to America because of the murders and things that were going on, that the money was not the issue. So they ended up coming into the United States, and they got sanctuary. And they were able to be here, and they said, this is it. We will become Americans. We can always do something, because in America, anything is possible. So they worked for Bill, and they worked for Bill for a number of years. And Bill paid them just, you might say, a little bit above minimum wage, but they lived off of the food, basically, that came out of the bakery. And, of course, being Asian, they were able to fix and to get certain types of fresh vegetables, et cetera, around. They did not own a car. They always worked with their circumstances. Now, we're talking about a couple that was not young. This was a couple that was in their 50s. And the day came when Bill decided he wanted to retire. He had a very successful business. He had been it was just a wonderful business, and he was really very concerned. He wanted to sell it, but he didn't want to sell it just to anyone, because he wanted his employees protected, and he wanted to make sure that whoever took over the company would honor and respect the loyalty of the people that he had working for him. So as it turned out, Bill said to this couple, if you're interested, I would like for you to buy my business. And the husband and wife looked at him and said, what are you charging? He said, well, this is, and he gave them a sum. And at the time that this was done, it was quite a large amount of money, because it was a profit-producing company. They had contracts. Whoever would buy this company had so much already done. Well, this couple said, give us a few days, let's talk about this. Now, they had worked for him like 7 to 10 years, something like this. He had really liked them, and the other employees liked them. And they said, we will buy the business. He gave them a sum, I don't remember what it was, $300,000 or something like this. They said, we will pay you $100,000 or the equivalent, and these are numbers, I don't remember the exact numbers today, but let's say it was out of a $300,000 contract, they were able to pay $100,000. And they said, we will pay you payments after this. Do you know they brought him cash? He was stunned. And what he learned from this couple that had come from tremendous influence was they had saved almost every penny, put it into a bank account, lived a very restricted life in other people's perceptions, because one of their dreams was to be able to go into business. They wanted to do it. They knew how to do it. They were very intelligent people. They were waiting for the opportunity. When Bill gave them the opportunity, they said, we will take it. All of that cash they put into the business. At the time that I read the article, they had been running the business for about 15 years. They were living very well, had a wonderful income. But the key of my sharing that story with you is this. No matter who you are, no matter what your circumstances are, life can just absolutely rip your financial feet right out from underneath you. In this couple's case, it was because their country was at war. Everything they had was taken from them, but they opted for the best opportunity they could get. And then, even though they had come from a very wealthy environment, they never put themselves above anybody else. They said, we can work towards what we want. And I like to think that today, this couple has shared their story with a lot of other people. But very few people knew about what they had been through until that article was published. So we need to know, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter where we've come from, what we've been through, you can always rebuild. In fact, next month, one of my guests is going to be sharing a true story about a man who, at the age of 70, ended up rebuilding what was a massive loss for him and over $1 million at the age of 70. So nothing is impossible, but you may need to think about the process, just like Tammy and her husband did. What do you want to do? How do you want to go about it? And are you willing to do what's necessary to achieve your dreams? It all counts. This is Donna Sebo. I know that we're out of time. I hope you will join me again tomorrow, because it's always a delight having your company, and I enjoy sharing the stories of people from around the world with you. Maybe it will make you aware of something very special in your own life, in your own way, where you can make a difference and step up to the plate of living, saying, I've got a full one. I don't need to be concerned. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are, and join me again tomorrow. I look forward to your company. Have a wonderful time. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.